Can I invite us to stand? I want to begin with prayer. You know, there's so much going on in the world right now. And it's so important to get God's heart on it. You know, we are facing, you know, national challenges. A Congress, we can't vote a speaker. You know, we have that going on. And then we have all these terrible wars. People are suffering everywhere. It's really challenging days, challenging times. Not to mention your own problems, concerns, worries that you have going on in your own personal lives, family, kids, mortgages, gas prices. I mean, there's so much to think about that we need to connect with God. We need to connect with the Holy Spirit. We're not meant to carry this stuff. You know, I read this morning, be anxious for nothing. I'm like, God, that's a hard commandment. It's so hard not to be anxious. And he's saying, no, I don't want you to be anxious. And remember, he didn't say these words in times of peace. He said these words in times of challenges. I always have to remember that we have the words from these people who went through very challenging, trying times. So they weren't writing these verses from a Starbucks. You know, they were writing them from very challenging days. Some of them lived through the Nero persecution, which was awful. The Apostle Paul wrote most of his letters from jail. First century jail, where they said, you know, it's like being in a sewer. And he says, do not be anxious about anything. He wrote, well, that's one of the things he wrote while in prison. I say all that to give us perspective. You know, there's so much going on. But man, we're blessed to be in a nation that still has freedom. A nation that can still have gatherings like this. I'm going to show you tonight that there are nations where this is prohibited. You know, 2023, there are places where you're not allowed to gather like this. So we have a lot to be grateful for. Amen. And so the Bible says, enter his gates. Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise first. Before you bring your petitions, before you bring your concerns, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And we're going to spend a few minutes doing that right now. I just got to encourage us to just, you know, you can play my sweet music in the back. There's no worship. You are the worship team today. You're the worship leader of your soul. So let's begin to thank the Lord for bringing us together tonight, for blessing us with another day. Can we do it out loud? I want you to thank God out loud. We bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We love you, Father. We love you, Son. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we come to give you praise. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you, God, for hope. Thank you for your presence. We bless you, God. We worship you, God. You alone, God, are worthy of our praise and our worship. Thank you, Lord. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. So we bless you, God. We thank you, God. I want you to thank God for something specific today. Thank God for something specific today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for health. Thank you for a nation that still has freedom of religion. Thank you that we can come together to worship you, to center our lives on you, Lord. What a privilege it is to worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are people suffering all over the world today. People suffering in Ukraine, in Israel, in Gaza. Can we pray for those who are suffering right now? Would you pray? God loves all people. Jesus, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So much pain right now, so much suffering. Lord, we lift up those in the middle of war, seeing so much pain and turmoil, grief, mourning, sorrow, despair. Lord, we lift up these people to you, Lord. Plead your mercy for them. Visit them. Visit these people, God. Have mercy on these nations who are seeing so much violence and chaos right now. Lord, you are the Father to the fatherless. You are close to the brokenhearted. Oh, Father, visit these broken souls right now in Ukraine, in Israel, in Gaza, other parts of the world, so much suffering, so much evil. Lord, dispatch your angels to these places, Lord. God, we believe that you are a God that can do miracles in the midst of despair. Lord, you are a God that will visit people in their hurts, in their despair. Visit these nations, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are held hostages today, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, that there's peace and there's hope in the midst of their confusion and hurting. God, we pray, Lord. Pray for soldiers, Lord, who are preparing for battle. We pray for government officials who are making very difficult decisions, Lord, right now. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Father, we also come against demonic spirits, Lord, who are active in our world right now. Father, we know that our war is not against flesh and blood, it's against principalities of darkness. Lord, we raise up a standard against it in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray, greater is you, Lord, that is in us, Lord. We cast it back to hell in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, Lord, rebuke the spirit of violence, Lord. Rebuke the spirit of wickedness and hatred and of racism and spirit of deception and deceit and division, Lord. We pray, rebuke it, Lord, away from your people. Lord, have mercy. Father, we know that you're greater. Father, your name is greater. Lord, we believe, Lord, your word says that you're the name above all names. So we plead the name of Jesus. We plead the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we pray, Lord, sweep through the Middle East region, Lord. And Lord, we pray, revive, Lord, the people of Israel who walked away from you, Lord. Revive, Lord, those who are far from you, God. Nothing is impossible to you, Lord. There's nothing that you can't do. God, we still believe that you are a God of miracles, God of the supernatural. God, I believe that in the midst of all of this, Lord, we're going to hear praise reports, and we're going to hear that God is still reigning. He's still moving. Still moving. Let's take a moment and pray for our nation. Our nation needs the Lord. We pray for our nation right now, Lord. We lift up our government officials, Lord. Help them with wisdom. Give them wisdom. Lord, our president is on his way to Israel, Lord. Give him wisdom, Lord. Give him wisdom, Lord. Give him wisdom, Lord. Give the Congress wisdom, Lord God. We need officials who are filled with wisdom, filled with the fear of the Lord. Revive this nation, Lord. We have strayed so far from you, God. Have mercy on this nation, we pray. God, have mercy on this nation, we pray. God, open our hearts. Open hearts, open minds. Lord, remove the veil. People are so blind. Remove the veil, God. Remove the veil of darkness, of evil, of deceit. Lord, we prophesy salvations over our nation, Lord. Salvation over our nation, Lord. Revive our nation again. Lord, we are believing for another great awakening, Lord, that will sweep through America, Lord God. It will rescue America, Lord God. Lord, don't pass us by, we pray. We pray to be part of your remnant, Lord, a people who are faithful, devoted to you. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. And Father, tonight we pray that you will open our hearts to your word. Your word is eternal. Your word never returns void. Your word is active. It's like a double-edged sword. It cuts through everything. Your word transforms. Your word heals. Your word rebukes, corrects. Lord, come and deposit your word in us. God, we don't rely on our feelings or emotions. We rely on your word. We rely on your truth. Help us tonight, Lord. Bless your people tonight, Lord. But also we pray right now, can you do me a favor? Place your hand, your right hand on the person next to you. Just pray for them right now, Lord. We just pray for each other right now. Just pray for each other, Lord. There's so much in this room that we don't know, God. We just lift up every brother, every sister right now, every family, every situation, every circumstance. God, there are things that only you know, Lord. We lift up every need in this room. There's power in our prayers. There's unity in our prayers. Lord, we believe that unity commands a blessing, so we believe in right now, Lord, that you are releasing miracles. You are restoring lives. God, I pray by the time we leave tonight, some people's prayers have been answered, Lord. I pray they're going to go home to an answer prayer, Lord. They're going to go home and realize that you have taken care of it, whatever that is, Lord. Bless our brothers and sisters. Bless our families. Financial struggles, Lord, we release your financial blessings, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you are making a way where there seems to be no way, God. I pray, God, heal marriages tonight. Restore minds tonight, Lord. Anxiety, depression, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that is gone. Let there be peace over your people, Lord. Let there be peace. I pray, peace be still. Peace be still. Do not be anxious for nothing. Lord, have mercy upon your people. Visit us tonight, Lord. Visit every household. Visit every marriage. Visit, Lord, every young adult. Visit every teenager. Lord, visit every one of our people tonight, Lord. Let it be real. Let it be known that you are with us and you're for us, Lord. Have your way over our lives. Have your way over our families. Lord, unspoken is in this room. I lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I believe by faith, Lord, that nothing is impossible to you, Lord God. Have your way, we pray. Fill every household. Fill every situation, Lord, with your presence, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good God. You're a good, good Father. So we pray, let your kingdom come to us and let your will be done in us as it is in heaven when you give us what we need today. You forgive us our sins, Father, as we forgive those who sin against us. And may you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, Lord, from the evil one. For yours alone, God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, we pray in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, let's extend the grace of God to each other real quick before you sit down and say hi to a couple of people. Amen. Oh, man, I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of God. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, we are in Matthew chapter 24. I want to continue what we began on Sunday. I want to look at a few more signs of the times according to Jesus. And I encourage you to take notes. I told you on Sunday, and I'll say it again, I approach this topic with a lot of humility. There's a lot of nuances. There's a lot that I don't know, to be honest with you. I am praying. I am reading. I am praying, and I am reading. A lot of reading, a lot of praying, a lot of praying, a lot of reading. Trying to understand, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen. Matthew 24, we're going to pick up from verse 9 and go down to verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 9 through verse 14. Jesus continues and he says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, interesting enough, the word wickedness there is the word Hamas in Hebrew. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. That is the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? So I want to give you an overview of where we're going tonight. There's five things here that Jesus says about the end times. And so go ahead and put up that first slide. So this is the five things I'm going to cover tonight based on these words of Jesus. So the five things are, Jesus said, persecution of believers worldwide. Second thing that he says here is apostasy, which is massive deserters of the true faith. People will walk away from the faith, right? That's apostasy. Number three is false prophets, right? Misinformation and fake news will kind of rule the day, as we're seeing. Number four is the increase of Hamas violence all over the world. And then five is the gospel being spread worldwide. Amen. The gospel being spread worldwide. So I want to cover these five signs of the end times with you tonight. So as we begin, I want to remind you that the Apostle Peter told us that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, right? And 1,000 years like a day to the Lord. See, here's the thing that's so hard for us to understand. God lives outside of time, right? Time is for us, but God is not constrained to time, okay? God lives outside of it. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is to understand that when you are studying prophetic scripture, you have to keep that in mind, that he's doing all three all at the same time. He's talking about the past, the present, and the future, right? And that's why we need wisdom and discernment to be able to know where are we in this process, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when Jesus, think about this, right? When Jesus gave this prophetic word, he was still walking the earth. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He hadn't even been resurrected yet. But he's already telling these first believers what was going to happen. Can you imagine being one of those first believers? Going, wait, what? First of all, we don't even know if you're the Messiah. They're still wondering. They're still trying to figure this out. And Jesus is already saying, you're going to be persecuted all over the world. It's like, we're a little tiny group of people in this little place. How in the world is this going to happen all over the world? So keep that in mind. Like, it's fascinating if you were in the moment to hear these words. Because think about this, right? Not long after this, he gets crucified. And what do? They run. They're thinking it's over. They kill him. He's another prophet. And he has to come back 3 days later to tell him, guys, I told you, right? Remember I told you guys this was going to happen, right? Even then, the Bible says some of them saw Jesus come back from the dead and still didn't believe. Remember, Thomas was one of those who said, nah, I don't believe. And Jesus shows up and says, go ahead. And then he goes, my Lord, my Savior. And Jesus is like, blessed are those who haven't seen but still believe. So I have a lot of faith for us because we weren't there and we're still believing. Come on, that's a good thing. we're believing. 2,000 years later, my friends, we are seeing a lot of what he said come to pass. It's fascinating. In Peter, again, remember, Peter lived right in the brink of the first heavy persecution of the church was when Nero was emperor. And if you know a little bit of history, Nero was basically someone who today they would say he struggles for mental illness, right? And we know this is demonic, right? That he was possessed by demonic spirits who made him want to persecute the church. He blamed the Christians for the fire in Rome. And Romans hated Christians because they believed that they were a cult and they didn't worship the Romans God. And they believed that Christians brought bad luck to Rome. So that's how twisted demonic things are, okay? And so Peter writes to the believers about prophecies because he's like, hey, I want to remind you why we're going through all of this. So I want to give you Peter's words about the prophetic and why it's important for us today. Look, Peter says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Why? Hey, why are you being persecuted? Pay attention, okay? As to a light shining in the dark place. You know what's the good news about things getting darker? Then light becomes more clear. Right? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The beautiful thing about prophecy is it's very poetic. It's trying to paint pictures for you. It's trying to show you a better future. Keep going. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Right? He's saying, like, we can't come up with this stuff. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I believe this, and I think we're going to hear this when we get to heaven. These prophets will tell you, we had no idea we were prophesying about you guys. I guarantee you, when you meet Isaiah, when you meet Ezekiel, when you meet Jeremiah, they'll say, you guys were part of this? I don't think they will realize that. Think about this, right? Isaiah, for example, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive. Well, that was 700 years before it happened. He would have never understood what he was actually prophesying because the Bible even says they prophesy in part. They don't understand it fully. Right? So the word of God is so powerful that he speaks into not just the present, but also the distant future, which is the next key thing to understand. When you're studying prophecy, keep these three things in mind. Go ahead. Keep these three things in mind when you're studying prophecy, right? Number one is the present time, when it was first spoken, then the immediate future, and then the distant future. Okay, this is where God is so powerful and complex because he doesn't live in time. So all those three things are happening at the same time, right? When a prophecy is being spoken, there's immediate ramifications, future and then distant future. So again, Jesus walks the earth and says, hey guys, this is what's going to happen. But he's talking to them in a way that he knows, hey, some of these things you're going to see right away, some of these things are going to happen way down the line, right? So when you begin to unpack the prophecies that Jesus gave us here, the first of these signs took place not long after his resurrection. The persecution started. And if you know your history, in 70 AD, what he prophesied right in the beginning of Matthew 24, he said this temple will be destroyed. But he was talking about the temple in two ways. He's talking about the physical temple, and he was talking about himself. Right? That temple in 70 AD was destroyed by the Romans. They came in, and they annihilated the place. So right away, this prophecy was fulfilled in their own time. Right? And then we know that the rest doesn't make sense because he says, now this gospel is going to go through all the nations. At that time, the gospel was only in Israel. It was only in the immediate moment. Are you tracking with me so far? I don't want to go too fast. Right? So there's the present time within when they lived, the immediate future, and then the distant future. If you go to Acts, right, what does he say? Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is going to come. Right? And he says, it's going to fill you, and you're going to do what? You're going to be my witnesses where? Right here in Jerusalem. But then he's like, then you're going to take it to Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Well, at that point, they didn't know what the ends of the earth was. Think about that. If you keep reading Acts, in Acts, they are fulfilling the Great Commission, but then in Acts 8, it says that it was like this stoppage. They were kind of like blocked in Samaria. And what does Jesus do at that point? Jesus allows persecution to come, and he enters a new person into this story named Saul, which he made the Apostle Paul. And because Paul is a Roman citizen, he's able now to take the gospel to places that these other disciples couldn't take it. So it's fascinating, my friends. When you see this, by the way, Paul was one of the original terrorists, right? Hated Christians, hated church, wanted to get rid of it. Where was he when Jesus got him? He was in Damascus, on his way to go persecute more believers, okay? So the stuff we're seeing today has been going on for centuries, okay? So again, present, immediate, and distant future happening all at the same time. Are you with me? So let's talk about persecution, right? I told you about the first one, and there's been many. By the way, something to keep in mind, historically speaking, about persecution. Part of the reason Israelis have a hard time embracing the gospel today, if you know your history, is that we have this ugly thing in our history called the Crusades, where the Catholic Church forced people to convert, doing what radical extremists are doing in the name of Jesus. That's a black eye in our history. So think about it. For some Israelis, when you mention Christianity, they think crusades. So that's also part of what we have to deal with. That's why I'm saying no one is innocent in this thing, in this equation. So there's been many times where the name of Jesus has been used the wrong way. You see, the struggle is this. Jesus said, repent and be baptized. In other words, willingly, not forcefully. Radical Islam is a forced religion. It's either convert or die. Jesus said, no, repent and be baptized. Right? Like, your free will has to play a role in it. Not I have to convert you by force. So for some people in the Middle East, they have a bad taste for Christianity because of that. So keep that in mind. That's a historical fact, right? I mean, if you took history, you know that that took place. We don't like to talk about that, right? But that's the truth. It happened, okay? So persecution happened in many ways, and some of it, unfortunately, was done by the Catholic Church the wrong way. Are you with me? All right, so keep that in mind. Now, fast forward to today, right? He said nations, which they would not conceive of that back then. Like, what do you mean nations? We're just little tiny, barely 12 of us. Some of us don't even believe. Right? how, what do you mean nations will persecute us? Well, fast forward to today. There is an organization called Open Doors. Okay, you can look it up. What they do is they track persecutions that are happening in the world as we speak. So what I'm going to share with you right now is 2023 data. Okay, this is not from 100 years ago, 20 years ago. This is from 8 months ago they did this. They do this every year, right? I want to show you this reality of what's happening right now in the world. 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. 1 in 5 Christians are persecuted in Africa. And then 2 in 5 Christians are persecuted in Asia. This is happening right now as we speak. And I want to show you a video that they release this every single year to show you, which, by the way, the goal is to show you so you know how to pray. So you can have targets of prayer. So this is the top 10 nations where Christians right now, this is 2023, this came out 8 months ago. Okay, this is what's happening in the world right now, and Jesus prophesied this 2,000 years ago. So watch this video.
What would you dare to do for Jesus? Would you defy dictators, worship in secret, sacrifice your safety? Over 360 million Christians around the world face persecution and discrimination every day. And these are the top 10 countries where Christians risk everything for Christ. Number 10, Sudan. Unrest in Sudan has increased following a military coup. Violence and pressure against Christians have worsened. At number 9, Afghanistan. Following the Taliban takeover, those Christians who have not fled the country have been forced deep underground. If discovered, they face death. Iran is at number 8. Iranian house churches are seen as a threat by the Islamist regime. Church members who are caught are given long prison sentences. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistan's infamous blasphemy laws are often used to target believers. Christian women and girls are vulnerable to kidnap and forced marriage. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. And the violence is getting worse. Number 5, Libya. In this lawless land, both native and migrant Christians are targeted, kidnapped, and even killed. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christians who dare to meet without official permission risk arrest. Over 1,000 believers are in jail without charge. Yemen is number 3 on the list. The humanitarian crisis continues. Anyone suspected of being a Christian will be deliberately overlooked for aid and might be expelled or killed by their own tribe. Number 2 is Somalia. Islamic militants are intensifying their hunt for Christians, and violent attacks are increasing. And at number 1, North Korea, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Spies are everywhere. Discovery means death, either by execution or by being worked to death in a labor camp. Despite the danger, in all these countries, the church is not defeated. It is living, powerful, defiant. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with this church. Where Christians risk persecution, our underground network support millions of believers with emergency food and aid, spiritual care, smuggled Bibles and Christian books, training and legal advice. And where Christians enjoy freedom, we work with local churches to raise prayer and support and to speak truth to those in power. Every day around the world, Christians risk everything to follow Christ. Will you dare to stand with them?
So that's right now. This is what's happening in our world right as we speak. And Jesus prophesied this 2,000 years ago. Friends, it makes you think about where we are as a country and how much we take for granted. So this is what I mean about the days of Noah, where we're just hanging out, eating, drinking. You have to understand that for them, the emergency of Jesus coming back is greater than ours. Because for them, it's like they're living in hell. They're living in hell. So you got to keep these are brothers and sisters in the faith. You got to keep them in prayer because this is real. This is not just, again, some fairy tale. They're living this. And think about this, right? It makes, on a natural standpoint, it makes no sense. If Christianity is not real, why do people feel the need to persecute? Why not just dismiss them? Why not just say, you guys are crazy? And it shows you how demonic this is. And what's the common denominator in all those countries? These are Muslim countries, most of them, right? And or Marxist countries or socialist countries who don't have God in the picture. And you see why I feel so passionate about our education system. Our professors, this is where we lead. It leads to this reality. If we don't stand up and fight, at least push back the darkness as much as we can. Which leads me to the second point, apostasy. Jesus said that's the next thing he mentioned. He said, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. That's apostasy. Apostasy is actually a military word for when someone in an army deserts that army in the middle of a war. That's what's happening. Many people are leaving the faith. Many people are walking away from the faith. And we saw a major apostasy happen in 2020. Many churches closed their doors, and many people have never returned to church again. Now, I believe that's part of what Jesus does from time to time. He purges the church, right? He purifies the church. But the reality is, it showed you that a lot of people are not really rooted in him as you think they are. And the more persecution, the more you see who's real, because not everybody wants to be persecuted. And usually they say, when you're squeezed, you show your true colors, right? You show what you're really all about. And so this is happening more and more. What's alarming is the brother of Jesus, Jude, who writes a one chapter book in the Bible. It's heavy. It's every sentence of Jude is heavy. And I want to show you just two things he said in his book. Again, one chapter. This is half-brother of Jesus. His name is Jude. Go ahead, put it up. He says, look, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. You know what contend for the faith means? Like, fight for it. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Keep going. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. Did you catch that? So apostasy is not just I'm out of the church. Apostasy could be in the church where now you're distorting what the gospel actually is. One of the ones that it's very clear in our day is any church that you see with a rainbow flag, it's an apostasy church. It's not the real church because it has taken something and distorted it and made it something that God never co-signed. All in the name of what? Tolerance. Right? What does Jesus say in Revelations? You tolerated that spirit of Jezebel of immorality. Right? So we're seeing apostasy, not just people saying, I forget the faith, but people were trying to shape the faith in their own likeness. Like, I want to make it what I want it to be. The second thing you're seeing in our society right now is called deconstructionism, right? This is happening among college age, where we want to take apart the faith to distill it down to a more palatable faith, something that we can feel good. Like, it makes me laugh because sometimes I'll preach a hard message, and what do you guys do if you bring a friend? You try to distill it. That's not really what he said, you know. That's not, no, that's what I said. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. You're trying to deconstruct, and you make it worse because you make it something less than what it's supposed to be in the first place. That's what deconstruction is. It's trying to say, no, please. Have you ever seen Jesus try to beg someone to follow him? Jesus would have failed every evangelistic class we have today. Because Jesus was, he went the other way. He's like, are you sure? Like, fox and other places have, like, we have no place to lay. Are you positive? Have you counted the cost? Do you understand what this takes? Are you ready to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me? What is deconstructionism? Is there's no cross. You don't have to deny yourself. Whatever you like. God likes what you like. That's what we're dealing with right now. That's why a lot of people are not going to church anymore, because think about it. Like, if you come here, you hear a gospel you don't like, you're like, I need to find a church that's going to co-sign what I like. And then what do you do? Right? We're just laughing about this yesterday. We're like, then you go on Facebook and you blast us for telling you the truth. But it's the truth that sets you free. Listen, people are turning on each other. Like, Jesus, maybe he knew Facebook was coming. Right? And then the saddest part to me about the whole turning on each other is the theological wars. That's divisive. Now, these are not new, right? Jesus dealt with it. There were denominations that didn't like Jesus, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These were all religious denominations who came against Jesus. And it's still happening today. The sad reality is this. We're facing very difficult days, and we shouldn't be spending our energy fighting each other over theology. Because the truth is, we're not going to agree on everything. If we did, that's called a cult. Okay? But can we agree on the things that matter most? Like, I call these, like, listen, important things and not important things. Problem is, we take all the not-so-important things, we make them the important things. And it's like, no, like, some of the stuff is secondary, right? Like, we get divisive over secondary things that doesn't matter. We need to do better. Maturity needs to rule the day. To say, listen, I'm not going to argue with you over that. We got a better, listen, pick and choose your battles. Okay, there's one right now, like, there's always something in the church world, right? If you pay, like, right now, it's happened many, many times, but now it's, like, prevalent again. There's a war, a theological war right now between cessationists and those who still believe the Spirit is working. Cessationist says, there's no more miracles, there's no more casting out demons, there's no speaking in tongues, there's no miracles. I'm like, might as well call yourself a Christian atheist, because you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, what's your point? It's fascinating to me. It's like, wait, so you're telling me to not believe the Bible, but you're quoting the Bible, telling me to not believe it. Jesus said, greater things you will do in my name, in my power. Paul said, I didn't come to you with cute eloquence. I came to you with the power of the gospel. So without power, then what are we doing? We might as well call ourselves a country club, you know, or better yet, let's go to IHOP, have a great meal. Like, what would be the point? But guess what? You see this from some prominent Bible teachers in America. Like, people who some of y'all probably follow. You don't even know that they wouldn't come to this church because they don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. My friends, I believe in the entire Bible, the whole thing. All right. Listen, if miracles are not for today, then why we pray? If the Holy Spirit is not active, then what's the point? Listen, I believe in all of it. I'm one of those crazy ones. I speak in tongues. I don't apologize for it. It's a powerful thing to speak in tongues. I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders. I believe in prophecies. I believe Jesus is coming back. I'm crazy. I believe in all of it. You know, but there are people who tell you they believe the Bible, but they don't believe those things. But it's like, I don't think they're not Christians. I just think you're missing out on a lot. I'm like, bro, yo, good luck. Good luck. But I'm not going to go fight with you. That's pointless. You get what I'm trying to get at? We got to be better than that. We got to be smarter than that and not get caught up on things that are second nature. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe that he's on your way to salvation? Those are the things that matter. The other stuff, you don't speak in tongues, you're missing out. Tell you that right now, okay? Why wouldn't you want more from the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't understand. So anyways, next one, false prophets. These are, by the way, people get this mixed up. Having theological differences and being a false prophet is not the same thing. People have called me a false prophet, but it's like, no, you meant like we have differences in theology. That's different. Being a false prophet is very, like, Americans love the word false. Whatever we don't agree with is false. That's the American theology, right? Hey, whatever you don't agree with, you cancel. Whatever you don't agree with, you block. Hello, somebody. Your algorithms are killing you. Have you noticed you only listen to people you agree with? That's a problem. That's a problem. You know how I study? I study atheists because I learn from them. I'm telling you, you learn more from people from the opposite side. Actually, you don't even know what you believe if you don't hear from people from the other side. You don't know what you believe. I think too many Christians are too scary to know what they really believe. Because to me, it's like, if someone makes you walk away from your faith, you never had faith in the first place. You didn't know how strong your faith was. So please, you gotta do better with your algorithms. Like right now with this tension between Israel and God, you should listen to both sides. Telling you, listen to both sides. There's a lot that we can learn, right? And then have a strong opinion because you've listened to both sides. Some people, they only listen to CNN. Some people only listen to Fox. I do both. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. No, it's amazing how two sides can talk about the same things in a different way. I can see this is jamming you up, like, my pastor, well, what does he believe? What does he believe? I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Now, what does he mean by false prophets, right? In their time, there were many, again, if you know history, that rose up and said they're the Messiah. They had many of those. Matter of fact, that's why some modern Israelis don't believe in Jesus. They believe that, oh, he was just one of the many who professed to be the Messiah. So there were many. Jesus told us that would be many. So they, immediate moment, they saw that. And a lot of them, their understanding of the Messiah was supposed to be a military leader that was going to liberate them from the Roman Empire. Many historians and theologians believe this is the reason why Judas betrayed Jesus. Because if you know his background, he was a zealot. A zealot was someone who wanted to overthrow the government. Like, that's similar to like a militia today. You know, remember January 6th? Okay, I won't touch that. Right, that's the definition of a zealot, right? Overthrow the government. So people believe this, that Judas believed that if I corner Jesus, he will turn into a militia leader. And when it didn't happen, he had remorse, right? And instead of repenting, he took matters into his own hands. Remember, Peter denied Jesus, he repented. Judas denied Jesus, took matters into his own hands. So false messiahs has come and gone many, many times, okay? Now, some have made false predictions, okay? This is where you get cults. By the way, let me define cults because a lot of people get this wrong. A cult is a perversion of Orthodox historic Christianity. Okay, In other words, they'll have some things that looks like Christianity, but when you look deeper, you see that they actually are a diversion of the orthodox understanding of Christianity. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've prophesied that there will come Messiah will come on this day, and they were wrong, right? Mormons are cuckoo. Like, Mormons are crazy. Like, that's a whole other conversation. Right? Like, I'm like, how can you be a Mormon? Like, listen, if you think the Bible is hard to believe, read the Book of Mormons, okay? Some dude said he found it in the hood, in the woods of Pennsylvania. Hello, somebody. That's already a funny story. Okay? That's a whole other conversation. But listen, false prophets, they come in many shapes, sizes, and forms. And I want to show you some modern ones. I think this is where we need to pay attention is, because the cults is kind of obvious, right? Well, if they were, some people wouldn't join them. But remember that some people died over cults. It's serious stuff. Like, some people went that extreme and really believed the stuff, okay? That's why we always say, you know, stick with the word, okay? Not with personalities, okay? Stick with the word. Now, I think some of the false prophecies that's happening right now, it's actually, it's more nuanced because it comes in self-help ways. There's a self-help gospel that's not really the gospel. And I think it's very prevalent in America, where it's almost like a TED talk with Jesus. But there's no repentance. There's no cross. There's no denying of yourself. There's no sacrifice. Those, to me, are all false gospels because they don't translate into real disciples. Okay? They translate into people who are just trying to improve their lives. The problem is, Jesus didn't say to improve your life. Jesus said to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. So these things are coming in many ways that are way more subtle. Like, whenever you don't hear the word, like, sometimes you hear some dudes preach, you're like, man, I heard him preach 20 times. He never mentioned sin once. It's like, why not? So I think sometimes these modern-day pastors are afraid to tell the truth. Almost like, I don't want to offend you, but the gospel is offensive. Like, I don't want to, listen, I don't want to offend you neither. Like, you think, I was talking to a friend of mine. I had breakfast with a friend of mine. I said, you see how crazy my job is? I get up in front of people, adults, and I tell them, stop sleeping around. Get your act together. Like, you know, like, you think I want to do that? I got 5 little kids at home. Like, no one in their right mind wants to do this. Unless you're called to do it. So, like, it can't be that I get up here and just try to, like, tickle your ears and make you feel good, because I can make you feel good and not tell you the truth, right? So we got to discern through that, right? Some of those gospels may be lesser, but is it the truth? Because Jesus said it's the truth that sets you free, right? It's not what you want to hear, it's what you need to hear. It's two different things. Now, One more false prophet. This is a tough one to say, but political messiahs. Like, every 4 years, we believe that someone's going to save us. Now I'm going to offend. Ready? If you're more excited about the second coming of Trump instead of Christ, you're the problem. You're part of the problem. Okay? Do we need a better leader? That's up to you to decide. But we don't need, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Some of people are like, you're quoting the second book of Trump. Trump's not going to save us. Obama didn't save us. Bush didn't save us. Clinton definitely didn't. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Read my lips. So we got to be careful with therapeutic Christianity, but we also got to be careful with political. Christian nationalism is not the gospel. Now, I believe in this country. I'm an American. I have dual citizenship. I believe in this country. I'm praying for this country. But this country will not be saved by another president. This country needs Jesus Christ. I gotta go. Are you guys good? Here's the next one. He said increase of wickedness, which increase of Hamas, violence, right? Now, these people have seen violence that we will probably, God, I hope we would never see. Like the Middle East, the tension there, people don't realize this, but it doesn't make any sense if it's not a spiritual thing. Because that land is so small that it's like, this is what we're fighting for. It's not the land, it's spiritual. The sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac have been at war for centuries. Right? Centuries. Palestine literally means Philistine. Goliath comes from the Philistines. They've been at war with the Israelites forever. And if you keep reading the Bible, all these regions around Israel, they all hate Israel. Makes no sense, unnaturally speaking. It makes no sense. They're the only democratic place there. Everybody else, like if you let the Middle East be, you know what they want? They will make it into a radical Islam region, basically. See, our eschatology, end time says Jesus is coming back to rule. Their eschatology is that Islam will rule by Sharia law. You know that right now in our country, there's a place in Detroit that police won't go because it's being dominated by the Muslims. Sharia law owns it. In France, there's many places that now is Sharia law. It is submission by force. Again, I'm talking about radical Islam. I'm not talking about like this, again, both sides. Okay, but the truth is, the Quran came through Muhammad, who said an angel told him the Bible is wrong. And if you know the Quran, basically what they did, the Quran inverts the Bible. The Quran says Ishmael is the promised son. Okay, so Ishmael has to rule over Isaac. That's why if you read the covenant of Hamas, it will send chills on your spine. They don't want peace. They say we want to wipe Israel off the face of the planet. Okay, that's like evil on another level. Like, did you notice those? I made myself watch those videos because I wanted to see this reality. It's horrific. But the background is with chilling. They were killing and celebrating and shouting, Allah Akbar, which means our God is great. They say, actually, if you look at a closer Arabic translation, it's saying, our God is greater. That's scary. That's demonic. That you think you're actually worshiping your God by killing other human beings. And that you will be rewarded in heaven for killing other human beings. This is nothing short of demonic. So right now, everybody, of course, we want to pray for Gaza. We want to pray for these innocent people, man. It's devastating. But they need to eradicate this evil. This evil needs to be, right? Like, I think it's a just war. There are times for those, right? And so what we're dealing with is much deeper than just what meets the eye. It's a clash of worldviews. And I think if there's going to be, again, I hate saying this, it's going to be a World War III, is because of a clash of worldviews. Yeah. Like, maybe in a couple of weeks I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39. Because it's a powerful prophetic word there that says that these nations are gathering to come against Israel. Yeah. And that might be what's called the Battle of Armageddon. And if you pull back the layer of Ezekiel and you look at all those nations, they're all kind of aligning right now. You know, again, I don't know everything, but I'm just telling you what you can see is that if Iran is behind this, then Iran is what? It's Persia, right? And then he says another big army from the north, which is if you look at the map, it goes from Iran all the way to Russia, right? And so all of these nations who don't have God are aligning. And then there's Turkey, obviously, and then there's Libya. Right? And then what do you have left in the West? It's us and Israel. Even Germany's trying to flake. It's, again, I don't want to get too scary, but this is where things could be leading down the line. Right? So Jude, again, the brother of Jesus. Wait, don't Don't go there yet. Hold on. Let me give you one more thing. But Jesus said extreme violence, Hamas, right? And he said, this is very, one of the toughest part about this prophecy. Because he said, because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. Because you become numb. Right? So my prayer for us, church, this is very important. You got to do everything you can to ask God to not let you go numb. Because after a while, you become desensitized to the violence. You become desensitized to it. Worst is you start to see people the wrong way. You got to be careful with that. You got to pray against that. God, don't let my heart go cold. Don't let me become numb. Because it's easy, because here's what the media is so good at. Media is so good at making you feel like it's us versus them. And who is them? We have to be careful with that. Like, I don't know if you've seen some of these kids in the Gaza Strip, man, it breaks your heart. These kids don't have a chance. So we have to be careful that we're not doing what they're doing. They brainwash their kids to thinking that Israel is the enemy. You got to kill the enemy. I mean, some of the stuff that they did, they took some kids, some Jewish kids, and made their kids beat these kids. It's some of the stuff was so demonic that you're like, you're teaching, you should see their cartoons. Their cartoons teach their kids how to kill Jews and celebrate it. Like, some of the stuff is beyond what you would never understand. It's like, how do people live like this? But their whole life they live like this. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and it's a powerful testimony of one of the founders of Hamas' son came to faith. And he talks about that. He says, our whole life we've been indoctrinated to hate. And now he's been disowned by his own family because he not only became Christian, but he started helping the Israelis. It's a powerful testimony. And I say this because there are also Palestinians who love Jesus. Remember, 2% of Palestinians are believers, and only 2% of Israelis are believers. So they both need the gospel. So we got to be careful with the us versus them. Okay, us versus them is not Christianity. Okay, we have to be careful with that. Because God wants to save all humanity. Amen? But yeah, extreme violence, hate speech, cold hearts, cancel culture. In our country right now, late-term abortion, that's wicked. I'm going long, but we're here. I have a hard time trusting someone who believes in abortion. Think about that. If you believe in abortion, what else is possible for you? Don't get me wrong. If you had an abortion, I believe God forgives, God restores. We all need forgiveness. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who stand up and fight for it. Like, if you believe in terminating an unborn child, then you believe in crazy things. What else is possible? So this is all wickedness, okay? Because here's the thing, right? Because here's where they call us hypocrites in the West. They're like, you guys are hypocrites because you say you hate violence, you hate killing, but you guys have more abortions than any other countries in the world. And that is hypocrisy. To say you stand up for rights, but how can you say you stand up for rights? You don't stand up for the unborn. Who's going to stand up for them? Think about that. So think about that when you're voting. If someone can believe in abortion, what else do they believe in? Something to think about. That's wickedness. That's violence. Because you have to dismember a baby to have an abortion. Think about that. Let's end on a good news here. The good news is this. Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It's fascinating. Again, he said this 2,000 years ago, and today, people all over the world has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, what's fascinating is, listen, you can use social media for bad, but you can use it for good. Like today, all over the world, because of Facebook, because of Instagram, because of TikTok, because of Twitter, because of YouTube, Jesus is being preached to everyone on the earth. I remember when I first got saved, I was like, how is everyone going to know that Jesus came back? Now I don't doubt that. Everybody has a cell phone. Do you know, I just read a report that 90% of the population has a cell phone. 2 years ago, I was in Cape Verde, a third world country, blew my mind. Everybody had a cell phone. And I mean everyone. Like we in Cape Verde, people, like, you can get fish from the fishermen and take it to people's house to sell. These ladies are now, like, texting their neighbors on the way with fish on their head. They're able to, it's amazing how they do it. It's like, oh, man, this is fascinating. So an event happens today, we all know it. I used to think, how is that possible? Well, Jesus knew 2,000 years later, y'all will evolve and have this thing in your hand. You can't miss what's happening. Think about it, right? Just 20 years ago, if something happened in the world, you have to wait for your newspaper to read it. Part of the reason why we're so anxious now is because we have too much information. Like, do yourself a favor and cut it down. Like, notifications off. Right? Because you're not supposed to have all of that all at once. At least one time, it was once a week. Can I get the newspaper, honey? You know, what's happening in the, like, if something happened in Ukraine a week ago, you would have to wait a week later to hear something. Now is the moment it happens. Everything is news. I'm talking to my son about this. I'm like, we love ESPN, but it's like, man, that's not news. LeBron James was wearing a hat. Well, thank you. So I leave you with this. Jude again. I love this. Jude said, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you in the last times there will be scoffers, which we have plenty of those, who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you. Pay attention. Okay? If he brings division, it's not the Holy Spirit. Who follow mere natural instincts and do not have what? They don't have the Spirit. Someone could read the Bible without the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, you got to build yourself up. And praying in the old school church, we'll say pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe in shabba-dabba-dabba, all of it, like just all of it. Because it builds my faith. It builds me, my inner man. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. That's how it be our focus. Keep encouraging each other. Keep praying in the Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, at least pray. Just pray. Pray Jesus. That's all you got. You know, my cessationist friends, man, get some power in you. Because to me, like, Christianity without the Holy Spirit is like having a really nice car but no gas. It's like, where are you going? Nice car, though. You know, you're over here, road, pushing it. You believe in your car, but you don't believe in gas? That will preach. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Encourage each other. This is not time to get divided. Okay? Not time to take sides. Only one side, the Jesus side. Okay? Come on, stay with me. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me for a second? I just feel led to do this. Don't just come to church. You got to know Jesus. It's not enough to know about Jesus. You got to know Jesus personally. Make a commitment to follow him. Make a commitment to follow him. Nothing more powerful than a made up mind. I've decided to follow you, Lord. Yes, we're blessed to be in this nation, but there are brothers and sisters who are paying a high price for being followers of Jesus. And I pray tonight that that goes with you. You pray for them, but pray for your soul. Are you following Jesus? So tonight, Lord, I just pray that we are committing ourselves to you, Lord. to be your followers, devoted, committed, dedicated to your will, to your purpose, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be ever so real in our lives. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Lord, whatever you want to do, say yes, Lord. I don't want to block you from moving, doing miracles, revealing, prophesying, restoring. There's nothing that you can't do, Lord. So empower your people, Lord. I pray right now, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Would you pray that, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Let my mind be filled. Let my thoughts be filled. Let my mouth be filled. Let my body be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Lord, let my hands be filled with your Spirit. I want to pray for people and see healing, Lord. I want to believe for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. I don't want to be empty. I don't want to just have a head knowledge of you. I want to experience you. I want to know you personally and intimately by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that more people will come to know you, Jesus. That all these birth pains are going to lead to more people surrendering their lives to you. And I believe you can do it at the Gaza Strip. I believe you can do it in Israel. You can do it in Ukraine. But also you can do it right here in our nation. God, once again, I pray, revive us. And let us go by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.